We're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. And before I do read, I'm going to ask Brother James if he'll come forward and lead us in prayer, if he will. Appreciate him coming and his grandson come with him today.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Would you bow and pray with us? Father, I thank you again so much for the day that you have blessed us with. As we come to this point of time in our journey, ending another year, expectations are with us. Will this year be the year that you return? Father, I pray that's the thought and the excitement of everyone that is gathered here with us today. For one day, truly, we'll stand in your presence. We'll get to hear a proclamation made, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But then also there's another proclamation that we need to be concerned about, and that is, will Jesus say that he is pleased? Thank you again for the love that you have for us. Thank you for those that are gathered here with us today, and thank you for our messenger who will come and speak to us words of instruction, words of encouragement, words also that will help us to measure up. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for all of your blessings, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're looking back in our study of 1 Peter, and it's a wonderful time of studying this wonderful letter the Apostle Peter gives to us. And we have already noticed that Peter, he addresses this letter to exiles in different parts of the world because of their faith in Christ. And so he says that we've been born again, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. We've looked at that already. And last time we looked at this passage, we saw in verse 11 of chapter 2, where he says, "I urge you, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Some translations use the word sojourners and exiles or aliens. That we are to abstain from fleshly desires, the passions of the flesh that war against the soul. And also we are to keep our conduct, our behavior among the Gentiles. That's the unbelieving world. Our conduct is to be honorable, because when they speak against you as evildoers, they're going to see your good deeds, and they're going to glorify God on the day of visitation. Pray prayerfully that God would visit them with saving grace, because we have lived before Christ and before the world, lived a good life. But we're not of this world. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven, from where we await a Savior. Temporarily, we are a citizen here in this world. And so we are to do good. Our key verse comes from that verse 15 in our passage here. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." Doing good. I see that word "do good" often in this passage. I see it down there in verse 20. It's down there. But when you do good and suffer for it, and I see it also in chapter 4, the last verse of chapter 4, that therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Doing good. We don't do good to be saved. We don't merit salvation by doing good, because, as Paul said, there is no good that is in me, that is in my flesh. Our goodness is that which God has placed in us. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God has given to us, that we might live the Christian life. And so what I want us to look at as we consider our passage here in verse 13 is our submission to human authorities. In verse 13, he says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human authority. That is, human institution, human authorities, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. And so there's two main parts here in this passage in verses, even 18, verse 20. We'll not read that, but be more specifically in doing good. Our conduct among those who rule over us. And then in verses 18 through 20, our conduct among those who employ us. That would be our boss. And then in chapter 3, we'll look at it another time, our conduct in the home, and that's the relationship between the husband and the wife. That's all included here. First of all, in verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution or human authority. And we read that in Romans 13 a moment ago. Romans chapter 13 verse 1, where it tells us there that let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. When we talk about human authority, this is not an invention of humans. God designed human authority. It's God's purpose to do that. Somebody has got to keep law and order. If you don't have that, then everything is chaotic. Everything falls apart. So somebody has got to be the governor of the state. Somebody has got to be the president. Somebody's got to be on the Supreme Court. Somebody has got to be on the police force. We have to have a military. We have to have the National Guard. We have to have governing authorities, or there will be chaos. Why is that? We live in a fallen world. A world that's fallen apart because of sin. And some people today think we need to defund the police. No, we need to pray for our police. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our governing authorities. Because if you defund the police, things won't get better. Things will get bad. I mean, the criminals will take over. And it seems like that's what they're wanting to do now anyway. So, a Christian, we must subject ourselves to human authority that's been placed over us. Now, there's some reasons why I want us to think about that. First of all, in that verse 13, is because of our witness for Christ. He says, for the Lord's sake. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake. That is because the testimony of Christ is at stake when we fail to be subjective to the authorities that are over us. I mean, it'd be wrong for a Christian to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And my heavenly home, that's where my home is. So I'm not going to pay any taxes. I remember years ago, I don't know, so far back there, but I remember this one guy on a budget committee in our little church. I was a full-time pastor there for several years, and a budget committee were talking, and one of the guys looked at me and says, Pastor, I don't believe preachers have to pay taxes. I said, you know what, I wish that was true, but you should have been with me when I stood before that agent there at HR and Block one year, and he told me how much taxes I had to pay. And you know, we pay taxes. And so we have to do that. And we saw that in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, that we're to pay taxes. Well, somebody came to Jesus about that, about paying taxes. And in Matthew chapter 17, he talked to Peter about that. Said Peter said, listen, we're going to pay taxes. Now listen, really technically speaking, Jesus is exempt. He doesn't have to pay taxes. Why is that? He owns it all anyway. But he humbled himself. He said, Peter, Get your favorite fishing rod, go out there to the lake, throw that rod out there, and you're going to pull in a fish. And when you pull in that big bass, pull it in there, and open up its mouth and bring out some money. You'll have some coin. You'll have a coin in there. It'll be enough. It'll be a shekel. You only have to pay half a shekel, but it'll be a full shekel. You pay my tax. You pay your taxes and pay mine too as well. And I thought about that. You know, Jesus was demonstrating to Peter that he is all-knowing, omniscient. He knew where that fish was. He knew there was a fish with a coin in its mouth. All right? And Jesus demonstrated to Peter his all-powerful omnipotence. He calls that fish to come to Peter's hook and hopped on the hook. I don't even think Peter had to put a worm on it. Just threw it out there. And that fish just jumped on the hook. Y'all believe that story? It's in the Bible. I believe every word of it. What Jesus was showing here is he's omnipotent, omniscient Lord. He's the Lord of creation. But yet he humbled himself. He humbled himself and he paid the tax. Because Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's the example that we're to follow, the example of our Lord. Be subject for the Lord's sake. Now, if you're a Christian, you should be against abortion. We're against that. If somebody doesn't want to care, they don't want the baby, there's plenty of people that will adopt that baby. But it's wrong for a Christian and saying, well, I have righteous indignation. I will threaten that abortion doctor. I will burn down the abortion clinic. That is wrong. Amen. That's not being subjective and subject to the governing authorities. Taking the law into your own hands, trying to accomplish something that you think is good. There's a second reason why we should be subjective. Look at verse 14. Or to governors, to sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do it. Two things right there. And this is the purpose of government. Number one, to punish the evildoers and to praise those who do good. That's what good government does. That's what they're supposed to do. And we need to pray for our leaders because depending on who's in positions of leadership, you know, it seems like the evil are being praised and the good are called evil. We have corrupt leaders. And it's always refreshing to hear of a Christian in a place of authority. Many times that's not the place. But we're to pray for them. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, first I urge you then that supplications and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people and for kings and all who are in high positions, that we might lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we pray that we might have a peaceful and a quiet life so that the gospel can continue to go out to those who need to hear that gospel. So we pray for our leaders. This is good. We pray for those in leadership position. There's a third reason why we should be his subject. Look at verse 15. For this is the will of God. That's it right there. It's the will of God. That by doing good you should what? Put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, the unbelieving world, just because of their fallen nature and by their own nature, they throw accusations toward Christians. That's what they like to do. But you know what? We don't need to add the fire. We don't need to add the fires to the criticism by our un-Christian conduct. We can silence the criticism by doing good. And I know there was a family, I won't point out who it was, but there was a family that I think was really against us moving into this sanctuary. We built it years ago. And I know, because I've been here the whole process, they quit coming. But we still went to their house and gave them a fruit basket this year. And we love them. There was some tragedy in that family, but we still love them. And you know, you will silence the critics when you do good. Amen. Do what is the right thing to do. Now, there are some basic rules to follow in being subjective to governing authorities. We're going to look at that at the beginning of verse 16. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So here's the basic rule in being submissive to governing authorities. Number one, use your freedom responsibly. We are free. We're free to proclaim the gospel. But you don't use that freedom as a cover-up to do something that's wrong, that's evil. You don't retaliate. You don't be vengeful. But you have freedom and you use it in a godly way. Jesus did that. Now, Jesus was not afraid of men. He confronted the Pharisees. He spoke straight to them. He didn't back down. And we don't need spineless people. We need to stand strong and speak the truth in love. But yet time, Jesus, he was not vengeful toward people. Let me give you an example of that. In the garden there, when Jesus was there, and the chief priests and soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword. Peter's sword. He thought, all right. He was about to swing that thing and took a guy's ear off. Malchus's ear fell off. And Jesus reached down and put the ear. He healed the guy's ear. And here's what Jesus told Peter. Peter, put your sword up. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. You start swinging that sword and killing people here, the Roman authorities are coming after you and they will kill you. That's not the way it's going to happen. That's not the way it's going to be done. So use your freedom responsibly. Now, some believe that, well, we're not going to be violent no way. If someone comes on my property and they're going to bang down my house and they're going to start shooting the gun, all right, I'm not going to do anything. I'll just go ahead and shoot me, shoot my family. No, we are to defend ourselves. We are to defend ourselves. Second thing here he says, in verse 16, he says, living as servants of God. That word servants is slaves. Slaves. We are slaves of God. Now here's one thing the church should not be. We are not slaves to a political party. We're not slaves to even a Christian organization that is pushing some kind of legislation through. Oh yeah, we got it. That's what they're... No, what? They go that way, we're going with God. God may go a different direction. We're slaves to God and His Word. We have to remember that we're slaves to one, and that's God. The Lord Jesus, He's our King, He's our Master, and we're His slave. Because there are people and organizations that will try to rally up the evangelical church for their own particular agenda. And I do believe that Christians, we're citizens of this world. We should go and vote. We should pray. We should vote. We should do all we can to exercise our liberties and be influential. And if God calls you to be a senator or a representative, go for it. Be a mayor, whatever, a council member, do that. But we are slaves. We're servants of God. Now, here's another one. In verse 17, be respectful. Now, he just lists some things here in verse 17. First of all, he says, honor everyone, even those who you disagree with. At least respect them, honor them. And if they are not even a Christian, but they do something that's right and they're in a position of authority and they do something that's right, we should honor that, even though they may not even be a Christian. Honor everyone. Number two, love the brotherhood. I tell you, if there's one group that needs to get together and love one another, that's the brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't need to be divided. I mean, we may disagree doctrinally with different groups. But if they're truly born again, a child of God, yes. Love the brotherhood. I was talking to some folks that don't live far from here. And they're talking about going to a singing. Their church of Christ. I hope they don't bother anybody. And they're talking about going to, and I used to work with ladies. They have Friday night singings, Church of Christ. And I've been working with some of these folks. I tell you, I just feel like, I have been with some of them. Gone and sung with them. Now, we didn't have the pleasure of the piano. We get into some serious Bible study. We'll disagree on some things. But there are some folks I really believe who are children of God and they don't necessarily go to a Baptist church. How about that? The devil does all he can to divide. Love the brotherhood. And then fear God. We live in a very hostile world. Hostile to what's biblical. Hostile to what's godly. Hostile to all that is of God. But we should not be afraid of ungodly leaders. We should not be intimidated by the unbelieving world. Our fear and reverence is to one, and that's God. And then he says, honor the emperor. Even if the emperor disagree with him, even though he may not be a Christian, but even honor his position. Honor the president's position. The position of that presidential position. Even though we disagree, the decisions our president might make, but we honor the emperor. Jesus said this when people tried to divide him in politics. He said, pull out a coin. He says, whose image you see right here? He says, Caesar's. Render to Caesar's the things that are Caesar, and render to God the things that are God's. We are citizens of two worlds. We are citizens of heaven, but we are citizens of this world. And the world's looking at us. What are we doing? Let me give you a few examples as we close up with this on this subject. One is Daniel. You can read about it in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He got on his knees and prayed 3 times a day. Now, there are some guys that were in positions of authority. They were jealous of Daniel. And they had King Darius to come up with this law. No one to make a petition or to seek advice or to pray to anyone except to the king. But Daniel continued to pray, as he always did, 3 times a day. And you know the story. He wound up in the lion's den. King Darius, he had a liking toward Daniel. He knew there was something about Daniel a little bit different. And he spent the night in the lion's den. And the Bible says the king arose and went to the den of lions. And he came near and he cried out to where Daniel was. And the king said, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. He knew he served God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut up the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I've done no harm. I've done no harm towards you, king. I mean, Daniel, he could have got all his petitions and protests, had some signs in March. Let Daniel out, you know, protest. He did no harm toward the king. And the king was so excited to hear this. and got Daniel out of the lion's den. Then I think of another situation. Peter, who writes this letter, he was arrested for preaching. He was put in prison. In Acts chapter 12, and verse 5, it says, "So Peter was kept in prison." But listen to this. Earnest prayer for him was made by the church. The church prayed for Peter. Well, they should have went up and down the streets with protest. They should be burning down buildings. They should be rioting in the streets. No, they had a prayer meeting. And you know what happened? The angel came down and opened up the doors and let Peter out. Same thing happened with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, they prayed for this lady who was possessed of a demon. She was delivered of that demon, and through her divination brought gains to her people that controlled her and owned her, a slave girl. They were mad at Paul and Silas. They put Paul and Silas in jail. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were writing letters to their congressmen." Now, you know that's not in the Bible, is it? At midnight, they were screaming, "Let us out! We demand justice!" Now, at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, this is after they were beaten up. But somebody was listening. The prisoners were listening. They should be cussing by now. They should be cursing by now. But they're praying. They're singing hymns. They're rejoicing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The jailhouse doors open up. The jailer thought, man, he's going to commit suicide, because to lose a prisoner, it would take his life. They would take his life if he lost a prisoner. But Paul said, "Oh, we're all here. Don't do yourself no harm. We're all here." And that man came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. The gospel had a powerful impact because they were doing good there in the prison. And we read in Acts chapter 5 where they were arrested. Peter was arrested. And the angel let him out. Well, they went and got him and arrested him again. And here's what he says: "We must obey God rather than men." Now, what about if they made a law? The law, here's a law: no more preaching. Who are we going to obey? You obey God rather than men. They kept on preaching. Well, that's a good thing here. Old Daniel got out of the lion's den, and Paul and Silas got out of jail, and Peter got out of jail. But what if you don't get out? What if you don't get out? Peter is writing this letter. He's saying, be subject to the emperor, to the governors, to human authority. He's writing this: be subject to them. The same emperor of that time that he was writing this, Emperor Nero. Here's what happened. Emperor Nero came into power in 54 AD at the age of 17. What kind of guy was he? You can look it up in history. He was a lunatic homosexual. We're moving in that direction in our country, where homosexuals will be running our country. They will be deciding policies that we will follow. Get ready. Are we going to rise up in anger? Roar! But this Emperor Nero had Peter crucified upside down. Eventually, that's what happened. What happened to King Nero? Well, 14 years later, he committed suicide at the age of 31. I believe all during that time, I believe Peter was putting out the gospel. putting out the gospel in his incarceration, all the way up to the time where he was crucified. He was a gospel witness for Jesus. In 1660, a preacher who was preaching in England, and they had a state church. You had to get license. He didn't need to have license to preach. God gave him a command. He'd go out in public and preach. His name was John Bunyan. Well, they locked him up. And he spent time in Bedford Jail for 12 years. During that 12 years, what did he do? He wrote his congressman. No. He wrote 60 books. 60 books. Two of those books that most know about. One is called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Was one of the main books he wrote. And the second one was Pilgrim's Progress. So he used that time for the glory of God. So what if the Lord doesn't let you out? Just be prayerful. Be respectful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. A couple of years ago, I've been following the story of a pastor named James Coates. Some of y'all may have heard about him. His church had about 400 people in his church near Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And the government says, close the churches down. COVID, close it down. Well, you know, we did that a few services, didn't we? Till we kind of woke up and realized it was not all what they said it was. And we're not belittling anybody that died of COVID, not at all. But then you have what you call essential workers. I was one of them. Because I was working at the prison at that time. We were called an essential worker. We had to be open. Somebody had to keep the jails locked up. You had hospital nurses and doctors. They were essential workers. Guess what? The gathering of the church is essential. There is something more deadly than COVID-19. It's sin and the devil. And we need to preach the gospel. Now, I know people, I know somebody real close to me that says, I believe all preachers need to close all the churches down. That's what they were saying during those days. Going back to James Coates, he wouldn't do that. He was put into prison. And several pastors in Canada were put into prison during those days. John MacArthur was threatened to be put into prison there in California with that liberal governing body there in California. Now, a good number of years ago, I don't know how long ago, but some of y'all may remember, I, along with some of the men in our church, and some Christian leaders and Christian community, we packed out the courthouse in Hole in the Wall. Do you remember that? One of our deacons, Don Graham, he called me up. And they had a packed out meeting. We were protesting against an individual who was trying to put some kind of an adult entertainment on Mount Joy Road. Years ago. And I'm not talking about going down there and playing checkers either. Some ungodly stuff that's coming into our community. You want to put a big billboard on the four lane out there. Adults only. And bring people in down there in the Mount Joy community. Well, I was thankful because I didn't see anyone out of the way. I didn't hear any bad language used. No one was out there slashing the guy's tires. Nobody was trying to burn down his buildings or anything, but we just stood there, and thankfully there were some godly people in positions of authority there in Hole in the Wall that refused to give this guy a license. That may not always be the case. How are we to respond in a world that we're living in, it is becoming more and more unchristian and ungodly. It demands us to be prayerful. Stay true with the word, but don't do what some people do when they think you need a riot in the streets, we need to burn down buildings, and do things that are unchristian. And I pray that we will do good and silence our critics and stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray.
Hello, this is Pastor Chris Gowan. Thank you for listening, and we hope the message was helpful. If you want to reach out to us through Sermon Audio, you can email, call, or even write us using our contact information that's given on this website. We'd be delighted to help you in your walk with Christ. May our blessed Lord enrich you and yours with His amazing grace and abounding love. Goodbye.